USA, the greatest entertainers in America, is requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till you're back from over there. Well, gang, this is Ken Carpenter unwrapping the biggest Christmas package of the day. Command Performance, your present from Armed Forces Radio Service, Los Angeles, USA. This year, we wanted to make this a very realistic Christmas. Of course, we couldn't bring you any snow, we couldn't bring you a hunk of the North Pole or Santa Claus's igloo, but we are bringing you a man who has an icicle for a nose, and here he is, Bob Hope.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, Christmas Command Hope. Telling all you occupation troops that are wearing iron lids, how are you going to get enough points to come back when it's Crosby who keeps having kids? Of course, even in the occupation troops, they're issuing passes to certain fellas for Christmas. Issuing passes to certain fellas for Christmas. That's an army expression meaning, eeny, meeny, miny, there ain't no mole. But back home, we're having our first peacetime Christmas in 4 years, and you should see the mobs at the stores. I went up to one woman, and I said, isn't it wonderful to do Christmas shopping now that all the fighting has stopped? But she didn't answer me. How can you talk with all your teeth knocked out? I went out to do a little shopping myself, and you should have seen the mobs of people. The streets were so crowded, my suspenders broke, and I walked 6 blocks before my pants fell down. Inside the stores, it was even worse. Boy, was it crowded. I never saw so many shopping bags. And there were some pretty girls, too. I went up... I tried to hide it from you. I went up to the second floor on an escalator. You know what an escalator is. That's where you keep right on going up without doing anything yourself. Like a second lieutenant. But you, But you should have seen that second floor. The whole crowd moved in the same direction. Whether you liked it or not, you bought a silk nightgown. And on me, it looked good. There was such a mob, I climbed up on a counter to get some air. Before I could climb down, I was sold for $1.98. There was quite a fight going on one counter. They just won a pair of beautiful silk underwear shorts for sale, and a general had hold of one end with both hands, and the civilian was pulling on the other. Just then, a private walked in and saluted. He should be out of the guardhouse by 1954. But the big hit this Christmas of 1945 is the new cars. A lot of these auto companies have been working on airplanes, and they're still a little confused. In fact, one car has a new speedometer. When it hits 60, a red light flashes. When it hits 75, a bell rings. And when it hits 110, a voice says, there's been a slight mistake in the assembly line, bud. You better bail out. Really, you should see the wonderful new improvements. The two biggest features are air brakes and unbreakable windshields. You can speed up to 100 miles an hour and stop on a dime. Then you press a special button and a putty knife scrapes you off the windshield. Automatic. In fact, this year you press a button that presses a button. But the best thing in the new cars is a special horn. When you pass a brunette, it plays good, good, good. When you pass a blonde, it plays that's for me. And when you pass a redhead, it stops and you play. And now, fellas, I'd like you to meet a grand old trooper. This generation loves him as dearly as the last two did. That lovable old singer of songs, Bing Crosby, right?
Do you hear that whistle down the line? I figure that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that's gonna sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. See the smoke horizon round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day from the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. Hey, better get out the rig. Cause she's got a list of passengers that's pretty big, and they'll all want lifts down to Brown's Hotel. Cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia on Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Get me good accommodation.
Oh, do they really?
Yes, I had a room all to myself going east.
Good.
Funny thing, though, the porter locked me in at every station.
I figure that it's engine number 49. He's the only one that's gonna sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. See the smoke arising round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day from the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Here she comes.
Jim, you better get out the rig. Cause you got a list of passengers that's pretty big, and they'll all want lifts down to Brown's Hotel. Cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia, on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
On the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. On the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. On the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
The good old 80 and the Santa Fe.
I'm sure that was thoroughly enjoyed. I'm sure that was thoroughly enjoyed by all limited servicemen with broken hearing devices.
Oh, you're very sweet, Prongpuss. Very sweet.
Listen, Bing, in case you haven't heard, I'm having a big Christmas party tonight.
Free? What kind of a shindig is it going to be?
You haven't got any more of that Gonzaga stuff.
What kind of a shindig?
This kid's going to come up with many a lull here tonight.
Where are you?
What'd you say, Daddy?
What kind of a shindig?
Well, it's, wait till I see the shins. But I tell you, I was thinking of making it sort of a costume party.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think you're ready. You're ready.
Don't you go any further.
Tell me, what do you think that I should come as?
Why don't you come as a man with hair?
Oh, no.
Bing, I think you have a capital dome. Matter of fact, I noticed a little growth of fuzz there this afternoon.
Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
It's that new octane. Smooth, very smooth stuff.
Goes down easy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bingo, do you think you can get to my party?
I don't know, Bob. I've got to fix up our own tree for my boys. You're familiar with the Crosby Tots, no doubt.
Crosby Tots?
Mm-hmm.
When is Gary's kids getting out of the service?
You want me to talk about...
Thought you'd never make it, homeboy. I check about that. That's a late reaction, all right. You get them later, enjoy them longer. Hey, let's go here.
You want to talk about AIDS? You want me to... talking about AIDS, you want me to mention your USO unit at Valley Forge? Is that time? I wait so long to get something in. It's a big...
Well, you've got another line. Just continue.
But you say this is going to be a masquerade party, huh?
Come again?
What are you coming as, really?
I'm coming as the Thin Man.
The Thin Man?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody will think you've got Asta under your vest there. But I'm just in a dither. I don't know how I should appear.
Well, why don't you make up as one of your own horses? Then you wouldn't even have to show.
Clever.
You could just come as a pot of glue or something.
Oh, that's right. Well, if I do make it and come to your party, I suppose you'll expect some expensive trinket or bauble or something.
Oh, don't let that worry you, Bing. You didn't last year.
You must be jesting. You don't remember my gift?
Oh, yes, very snappy. A mother-of-pearl button hook. I haven't worn shoes like that since my junior prom at Vassar.
Bob, my dear boy, that wasn't for your shoes. I thought you could use it to take a hitch in your stays.
Look who's talking, a flesh dumpling.
Merry Christmas, Bing.
Well, Dinah Shaw.
Well.
Merry Christmas, Dinah. You remember my colleague here, Bob. If it's not a yacht, throw it out, folks.
Oh, sure. I've known Bob since he was a cub.
That's not fair, Dinah. Haven't I always been platonic with you?
Oh, sure. Platonic. That's hope language. But what did I do with those etchings again?
Are you going to Bob's party?
Yes, Bing, I am. As a matter of fact, Bob suggested we have a progressive party. You know, at my house, we have the hors d'oeuvres, turkey, cranberry sauce, dressing, vegetables, dessert, coffee, and brandy. And then we all go over to Bob's house.
What for, to burp?
You know very well we're going to do all the eating at my house. All you promised to do was help prepare the stuff. Did you get those hot dogs I sent over?
Hot dogs? All I got was 200 empty skins. What did you expect me to do with them?
Fill them, girl. Fill them.
Well, what with?
Well, you know what with. I sent over 4 turkeys this morning.
Oh, oh goody. Turkey fertig.
Turkey furters, by the way. He's always pulling those darbs. Say, by the way, Dinah, remember what you promised to lend me?
Oh, Bob, I don't think I can.
Oh, but Dinah, I need it.
Well,
please, Bob, Dinah might be wearing it herself.
Stay out of this, Blub. You know, Dinah, what I like about it is that so little holds so much.
Yes, it does.
And it makes it so firm.
Oh, all right, Bob. I'll lend you my ice cream freezer.
Swell. Now, well, you'll have to excuse me now. I've got to type up a big list of presents, I expect. So I'll see you at the party, Don. And how about you, Bing? You in?
Oh, I don't know, Bob. I did have a previous engagement.
Oh, you don't have to keep it this year. They can get another baritone in the Salvation Army quartet.
Oh, the pennies sound so nice.
Turkey
first. Those pennies sound so nice when they hit my tambourine. I'll think it over, Bob. Meanwhile, there's a sure special dangling under the mistletoe. From the top, please. Understand that?
You got it, Bing.
Every day. The slumbering shadows along the Navajo Trail. When it's night and crickets are calling and the coyotes are making a way, I dream by a smoldering fire along the Navajo Trail. I love to lie and listen to the music when the wind is strumming a sagebrush guitar. And over yonder hill the moon is climbing. It always finds me wishing on a star. Well, what do you know? It's morning already. There's the dawning. Time to climb into my saddle and ride the Navajo Trail. climb into my saddle and ride the Navajo Trail. Saddle and ride the Navajo Trail.
That's the sound of shore. It's an ill wind that blows nobody good, but here's a good wind that blows nobody ill. The little boy with the blue horn, Mr. Harry James, right here. Harry, I suppose you'll be at my party tonight.
Well, Bob, I don't know if I can make it.
Oh, well, Harry, you've got to be there.
Well, I don't know. I'm awfully busy.
Harry, the party just can't go on if you're not there.
Well, gee, Bob, I'd like to come.
But you must, Harry, you must. You're my best friend, my closest companion. There's no one I like better. Please, come.
Well, I don't know if I can.
Well, okay, if you can't make it, send your wife.
Well, believe me, Bob, I'll try and make your party, but right now, I have to answer a request to command performance. Take a look at this letter I received from the Philippines, Bob. It came with a big box that contained a pretty surprising package.
Well, what was in it, Harry?
A Japanese bugle.
Let me see the letter. Harry James, Command Performance, USA. Dear Harry, enclosed in package you'll find a Japanese bugle captured by the 4th Sound Ranging Platoon during the fighting in the Philippines. Six of our unit, accompanied by Filipino guerrillas, were alone in Japanese-infested territory. We were attacked about 3 o'clock in the morning, but drove the Nips off, and Corporal C.E. Fowler grabbed the bugle as a souvenir. This little skirmish on a lonely hill in the Philippines did not make headlines, but was very important to us. Corporal Fowler sends this bugle to you, hoping in return you'll sound taps for the Japs on their own bugle. Sincerely, members of the 4th Platoon, 289th F.A. Observation Battalion, APO 70... Well, Harry, here's the bugle. Are you going to sound taps?
No, Bob. Those boys already sounded taps for the Japs, but just for fun, let's see what a couple of hot riffs sound like on a bonsai bugle.
Harry, send it to Benny Goodman. Maybe it's a clarinet.
I guess I
lovely
better stick
lips.
To...
You ought to have Joey Brown here for that,
yeah.
thing.
I guess, Bob, I better stick to my own bugle.
An excellent suggestion. Mm. How about giving out with something with a bit of bounce?
Okay, here's the whole gang tripping lightly through the 2 o'clock jump.
Thank you.
To add a touch of dignity to this Christmas clam bake, we look at our file under Dignified, and there we find cultured, refined, suave Herbert Marshall.
Thank you, Ken, my boy. It was nice of you to ask me over, but I'm in a bit of a hurry. I'm invited to Bob Hope's party again this year.
Oh, what's your hurry, Bart? The party isn't for a little while yet.
No, I have to go to the bank and get some change for tips. By the way, Ken, who is going to be at the party this year?
Oh, people of great importance. Betty Davis, Luella Parsons, Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall, a lot of people.
How do you like that? He left that umbriago.
Jimmy Durante! I'd like to have you meet Herbert Marshall.
Glad to know you, Mr. Marshall.
It's a pleasure. The happenstance of this fortuitous meeting shall be added to my collection of appreciative enjoyment.
Sometimes I wish I could speak a foreign language. By the way, what nationality are you?
I come from England.
Oh, to be sure, that's in London, isn't it?
Yes, just on the outskirts.
It was lucky I met you tonight, Herbert. You don't mind if I call you by your maiden name?
No, no, please do. Please do.
You know, Bob Hope is going to give a big party tonight.
Yes, I understand it's going to be quite a soiree.
That's all right. I'll leave before the cops come. By the way, Mr. Marshall, you being British and coming from a long line of Brits, makes you just the man I'm looking for. I may have a job for you.
A job?
Yes, I need a valet.
You mean...
Yes, I want you to be my gentleman's gentleman.
No, it won't work. We're short one gentleman.
Usher, stand erect. Add a little class to the joint. Repeat that line. I think I got a laugh here. Repeat that line. It won't work.
It won't work. We're short one gentleman.
Well, you can study nights. I got a million of them.
Jimmy, now, would you say that you occupy a social position sufficient to warrant having a manservant?
Oh, yes. It's a well-known fact that Durante is practically stinking with charm.
Yeah, you'll pardon my skepticism, but a true gentleman must have a background of generations of culture.
It may interest you to know that I have an Anglo-Saxon genealogy. They thought I couldn't pronounce it, the bums.
And Anglo-Saxon, well, are you sure?
How can I be sure? I don't even know what it means.
Oh, it means that some of your ancestors were born in England. Is that true, Jimmy?
Yes. My great-grandfather, Sir Rumpelbottom Durante, was an important man in Wickenham County. And the regime of Henry IV, he presided over a big country seat.
Really, yeah. Mm.
Yes. But with the event of King Henry V, he fell into political disfavor. He was forced to move the country seat from Wickenham to Twickenham. Then he had to move it from Twickenham to Bickenham. What a dilemma. There he was with a big seat and no place to put it.
You know, Jimmy, your mentioning the names of those English townships brings back memories of my young manhood. Many is the afternoon we young fellows used to go out hunting quail.
Just a minute. Did you say quail?
Yeah, that's a bird.
Pardon me, I mistook your intentions. But that is neither Telly nor who. Mr. Marshall, I need your advice on the proper attire from which to attire myself for the party.
Well, I understand it's formal. Do you have any black trousers?
No, but I can always smear some kiwi on my long underwear.
Now, Jimmy, you can't go to a party in long underwear.
Why not? If things get dull, I can always make a graceful exit through the escape hatch in the back.
Well, Jimmy, seriously, things won't get dull if you sing a song. Why don't you rehearse one right now?
Noble idea, Mr. Marshall. When I open my mouth, that's what comes out. I was walking down Park Avenue the other day. I was whistling Janina Mia. a fellow who was coming in the opposite direction. He bumped right into me. Now, I didn't say nothing. I just kept on going. Don't you think he turned around and said, "But don't you look where you're going?" Now, I stood aghast, as it wasn't my fault. Then he pushed me off the sidewalk onto the asphalt. So I ups to him, and he ups to me. Said, and I ups to him, and I said it was his fault. He said it was my fault. I said it was his fault. He said, "If you don't like it, I'll punch you right in the proboscis." I was so mad I was frothing at the kneecaps. So I ups to him, and he ups to me. But I don't do nothing. I just keeps my attitude, see? Then I said, "Wait a minute, Mac. You don't look like a lumberjack, but you can't bulldoze me." And with that, to show him who was boss, I put the chip on my shoulder and I said, "Knock it off. Knock it off." 5 minutes later, the chip was still there, but the shoulder was gone. So I ups to him, and he ups to me. So I goes my way, and he goes my way. Well, exhausted and fatigued, and tired too, I stopped at a nearby pharmacy for my daily vitamins. I was munching vitamins A, B, C, and D, and was getting down to E, F, G, and H, when I feels a tap on my shoulder and a voice saying, "Have one on me, partner." Thinking it was the same chump, I whirls around as quick as a flash, I ups to him. When I find myself face to face with a Westerner, a tough hombre. So I stops up to him and I says, "Pardon me, stranger. A stone got in my shoe. You needn't start cussing. I haven't done anything to you." Recognizing the drawl in my voice, he asked me where I hails from. And when I said, "Bar Z Ranch, Phoenix, Tombstone, Arizona," he hits me with his leather boot, black as my eye, knocks me down, picks me up, knocks me down, picks me up. But I kept smiling through it all. I had a smile. He had his fist in my mouth. So I left him to his own resources. Now the scene changes. 3 years has elapsed. I've grown a perfect toupee and I've prospered. I'm laying on the beach at Waikiki, just a millionaire on the loose, when I feel someone tickle me on the schnoz and a voice singing a lot caroose.
It was I remember you. It was I remember you. Why, you're the feller with the big smeller. I remember.
After 3 years, who comes back to torment me? Knock the shoulder off McNulty. So I ups to him, and he ups to me. So I goes my way, and he goes the way of all flesh.
Very nice. I know some of you men are lucky enough to be stationed where you can have a big Christmas tree decorating your mess hall. And I only wish this next little thrush had a nest in each one of those trees. Here she is, Miss Jenny Sims.
A fine introduction, Bob. That leaves me up a tree.
Yeah, I bet I never had such a nice pair of limbs. But before... Before I do anything else, Ginny, I want to invite you to my Christmas party tonight.
Well, thank you. In that case, I'd better drop by my house and put on a party dress.
You know, Harry James and his band will be there. It'll be quite a thing.
Well, in that case, I'd better put on a formal evening gown.
And naturally, we'll sit out a few dances on the love seat together.
I wonder where I could get my hands on a suit of armor.
Time for your song now, Ginny, so why don't you go right ahead while I run out and look for a can opener.
All right, Bob. Well, here's till the end of time. Till the end of time, long as stars are in the blue, long as there's a string of birds to sing, I'll go on loving you. Till the end of time, long as roses bloom in May, my love for you will grow deeper with every passing day. disappear. I'll be there for you to care for you through laughter and through tears. So take my heart in sweet surrender and tenderly say that I'm the one you love and live for till the end of time. Disappear. I'll be there for you to care for you through laughter and through tears. So take my heart in sweet surrender and tenderly say that
how the preparations for the party are coming along. Professor Clone is supposed to be attending to all the details, buying all the food, and that must be Kelowna now. Hello?
Hello, is this the restaurant? Send over the cheapest food you've got, charge top prices, and we'll split the profits. Send the bill to Bob Hope.
Kelowna, this is Hope talking.
Built myself a nice little booby trap, didn't I?
Kelowna, stop fooling around and start preparing the dinner.
That's just what I'm doing, Hope. I'm in the kitchen right now, and I'm very busy with a pot roast.
A pot roast?
Oh, Professor, kiss me. Hmm.
One of the prettier pots.
Professor, why don't you just settle down and marry another idiot?
Well, sorry, Hope. I'd rather be just a sister to you.
Kelowna, haven't you prepared any refreshments for the party?
I certainly hope. I just got a bucket of Pepsi-Cola from a cow.
That's ridiculous, Kelowna. Cows don't give Pepsi-Cola.
They don't?
No.
Well, I'll taste it and see. Mm. What do you know? Southern Comforts.
Man, here's one of your salad favorites, an AFRS regular fella who not only writes great songs, but sings them too, after a fashion. Preferably an old fashion. Anyway, aided and abetted by the Pied Pipers, here's Johnny Mercer singing Camp Town Races. Right here.
Camp Town, ladies, sing this song, doo-da. Doo-dah, Camp Town racetrack 5 miles long. Doo-dah, day, come down here with my hat caved in. Doo-dah, doo-dah, can't go back with a pocket full of tin. Whoa, doo-dah, day, wine to run all night, wine to run all day. I bet my money on a bobtail nag. Somebody bet on me.
On the bobtail filly and the big black horse. Doo-dah, doo-dah, fly the track and the cut across. Oh, doo-dah, day.
Horse chicken in a big mud hole. Do-da, do-da. Can't cut bottom with a 10-foot pole. Oh, do-da day. Quiet run all night. Do-da, do-da. Quiet run all day.
Oh, do-da.
Bet my money on a bobtail nag. Somebody bet on me.
If you like. Thanks.
Hey, John, that was swell. How would you like to do an encore?
Well, I'd like it fine, Bob, but I only had one other song prepared, Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe, and that's already been done by your Mr. Crosby.
Well, don't give them to me, John, not even for Christmas. But that reminds me, Johnny, you're coming to my party tonight, aren't you?
Well, yes, Bob. I made a little money on my last song. I guess I can afford it.
Johnny, you sound more like Crosby every minute. That is, when you talk.
Somebody mentioned my name?
What's the difference? You'd have come over anyway. He has to be in the middle of everything. That's what I get for giving him lines in our last picture.
Oh, no. You be a nice boy or I'll make you call me Mr. Bergen instead of just plain Edgar.
Hi, Bing. I was just telling Bob here what a nice job I thought you did on Atchison, Topeka and the Santa Fe.
Oh, I'm so happy you liked it, John. I didn't interfere with you, did it? I mean, you didn't want to sing it yourself or anything?
Oh, no, no. I don't like to sing anymore.
Any more than B.O. Putty likes money.
Shucks, Bing's the logical one to sing Atchison, Topeka and Santa Fe anyway.
Oh, I don't know about that. I introduced it in a picture called Harvey Girl.
Well, Judy Garland.
Hello, Judy. Did you want to sing Atchison, Topeka and Santa Fe tonight?
Yes, I wanted to sing Atchison, Topeka and Santa Fe tonight, too.
Well, gosh, Judy, I'm sorry I sang Atchison, Topeka and Santa Fe first.
I don't know about you folks, but I wish I was on the Atchison, Topeka and the Santa Fe.
Roman
No kidding, though, Johnny. It's a swell song. How did you ever happen to get the idea for it?
Well, I got the idea from a family I once visited near Topeka, Kansas. They were real hillbillies.
There are no hills in Kansas.
All right, they were flatbillies. And if you, Bing, and Bob will jump in and play some of the characters, we'll show the guys just how I happened to get the idea for the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Well, you got yourself some characters, John. A little flatbilly music, please.
And now let's look in on the poor but crummy shack of the lazy but shiftless Hawkins family. Johnny, oldest and dirtiest Hawkins, is being wooed by Judy Holcomb, member of a rival clan. As the scene opens, Johnny has spied his pappy coming across the clearing.
Hey, you better get. Here comes a pappy across the clearing riding on his donkey.
Which is your pappy?
The one with the long ears.
Why, that old buzzard, I'll take my gun and fill him so full of lead he'll have to send his laundry to the smelting plant.
Now, you look here, Judy Holcomb. You better quit shooting holes in me. The gophers is moving in already.
Well, I can't help it. Me and the Newtons is feuding.
Dag nabbit, you're right. Whenever a Holcomb gets near me, I just naturally smell the skunk.
Well, there's another nostril for you. What do you smell now?
Oh, Pappy, why must us and them ones have to be fighting all the time? How come all this feud never done got started?
Well, it's this-a-way, son. My great-great-great-great-grandpa run away with Judy's great-great-great-great-grandpa's wife.
When did this happen?
Yesterday. They went to Niagara Falls on the honeymoon, but I don't think it'll do them any good.
Why not?
Well, they're both so darn deep, they won't be able to hear the water.
Say, tell me, where's your other son, Hope Hawkins?
Well, he's out in the back there, yonder, spearing leaves with his nose.
Well, now, there's my idea of a talented fella.
Here I come now.
Hello, Poppy.
Hello, son.
At last, they got him cast right.
Continue.
Well, look who's here, our old enemy, Judy Holcomb. Give me a kiss, enemy.
Why, heck no. You still got a leaf on your beak.
Gosh, you sure look pretty, Judy. You're so romantic looking, you got my heart a-thumping like a hound dog's leg in scratching season.
Well, I kind of hate to admit it, but you got mine a-thumping, too. How about you and me and getting hitched?
Well, I don't know. Do you really love me, or do you just want someone to shoo the flies off you?
Well, I guess it's a little of both. What do you say?
Well, I say, okay. Pappy, I'm going to give Judy a ring. Is that all right?
Well, not would be it, ain't. Nobody's going to put nothing in my girl's nose.
But she wants to marry up with me, John.
How come, Judy? I thought she was sweet on me.
Well, what makes you think so?
Well, every night we used to sit out in the moonlight and hold toes.
Well, Hope's got just as many toes as you have.
I got more.
Now, look here, Judy, girl. You got to make up your mind right away. If I forget about our feud, which one of my sons do you want to marry?
Well, Hope, I guess. But first, I'd like to know how old he is.
He's 18 years old. Grandma'll love me for this. You see, I know he's 18 year old because he takes a bath every year and there's 19 rings around the tub.
19 rings? I thought you said he was 18.
Well, I gotta wash up once in a while.
Well, I won't answer that. Our families have had enough trouble. But there's been too much stalling. Let's have the nuptials right away.
Now, hold on there, gal. There'll be no nuptials in this house till after the wedding.
And that's how I happened to write the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Well, now that we've got that cleared up, here's Judy to sing a little something for you.
Oh.
dream I dreamed was not denied me. Just one look and then I knew that all I longed for long ago
from this phone booth to tell you that, and I've tried to get exactly, so now the only thing to do is, see?
Colonna, there must be something wrong with this connection. Why does everything you say have something missing in the middle?
Use the lifesaver instead of a nickel.
Colonna, what did you call for, anyhow?
Well, I wanted to know whether you'd like to some nice, fresh lobster for dinner.
Well, are you sure it's fresh?
Fresh. This lobster walks over, sits down on a piece of lettuce in front of you, and commits hattie-carry.
Colonna, I thought we were going to have meat for dinner.
We are, Hope. We're having rump steak. How would you like your rump steak? Rare, medium, or well done?
Well done.
Well, come on, bossy. Sit down on that heating pad again.
You know, Colonna, you shake my faith.
No, you shake my faith. I want to see what falls out of my mustache.
Oh, no. I can see right now that we're going to have a miserable dinner tonight.
Oh, don't be silly, Hope. I just finished making a delicious soup. I put everything in the kitchen in it. What a great soup. Everything in the kitchen went into it. By the way, Hope, did I have a guy here helping me?
Of course you had a guy there helping you.
Well, I'll strain the soup and call you back.
And now here's another Christmas treat. Surrounding the command performance microphone for the umpteenth time are the Pied Pipers. Embrace it with you with all eight lungs going at once.
Embrace me, my sweet, embraceable you. Embrace me, my irreplaceable you. Just one look at you.
Started jumping and go gypsy in me.
You and you alone bring out the gypsy in me.
You hear me?
I love all the many charms about you.
About you.
Who, me?
Above all, I want my arms about you.
Don't be a naughty baby.
Come to Papa, please do. My sweet, embraceable you.
Bye.
drag me. Don't be a bring down, mama. Get yourself home. My sweet and brave Rabble.
That was swell, kids. And don't forget to drop over for the party.
Hey, Mr. Hope, but I...
Well, and if it isn't Archie of Duffy's Tavern.
Mr. Hope, I heard you throwing a Christmas party, so I says to myself, I says, Archie, why don't you help Hope out and get him some talent? And not just plain first-rate talent, you know.
Better than that?
Second-rate.
So you want to get me some entertainment for my party, eh, Archie?
Yeah, for an allotment, of course. You know, you ain't talking to no bum.
We live and learn.
Yeah. Now, I can get you a certain person who is in great demand at parties.
Oh, you can? Well, who is he?
I can get you Bing Crosby.
You mean my straight man in the movies?
Yeah, the fella they all laugh at. The guy is a very good singer, you know. Quite a career this Crosby's had. You know, he studied for 8 years before he found out he couldn't sing, and by that time he was too famous to quit.
Archie, I know that with a client like Crosby, you probably get 50% commission, so rather than see you lose it, I'll say, go get Crosby.
Okay, Mr. Hope, your wish is my command. Excuse me while I repair to his dressing room. Knock, knock.
Come in.
Hello.
My dear Archie, it's so good to see you. May I tell you, it warms the cockles of this old wandering troubadour's ticker to find himself in the comforting presence of such an estimable character as yourself.
Crosby, you pop out syllables like they were sons. I don't mind them big words, you know, but, you know, it ain't fair to people that don't understand them.
Like who?
Like you. Hmm? So leave us lay off. If you want to use big words, you know, I'll match your vocal... I'll match you anytime.
Okay, Archie, truce. Tell me, how are things at Duffy's?
Well, her place has been closed for altercations.
No. Now, you mean alterations. Altercation is a fight, a brawl.
Mr. Crosby, what happens at Duffy's ain't no taffy pull. When we reopen, you won't hardly know the joint.
Well, the sight may be different, but I have a hunch the smell will be the same.
That's where you're wrong. We just sprayed the place with uranium. You see, we're going to retrench.
Retrench?
Yeah, enlarge the joint. Also, we're going to add a new Swedish cook, a dame, you know, one of them smorgasbords.
Archie, what did you come to see me about, really?
Well, it's like this. Bob Hope and me was talking about how many people get by on the radio without no talent, you know, and somehow or other your name came up.
I'm honored.
Well, anyways, that's what started the argument.
What argument?
About who's better, you or Sinatra, you see. So Hope says, look, Archie, sometimes Bing ain't as good as Frankie, and sometimes Frankie is better than Bing. And sometimes it's just the other way around.
There's two sides to every question, of course.
Yeah. So I says, look at it logical, Bob. Bing is to Frankie as Stravinsky is to Haydn, see? So Hope says, you're wrong, Archie. Bing is the one that should be Haydn.
Thank you.
Okay, no compliment intended. Crosby, leave us stop this shilly-dally and get down to business.
What's on your mind, Archie?
Well, I want you to sing on Bob Hope's Christmas party.
I suppose if it's for Hope, it's for charity.
How much do you get back? Well, I wasn't coming to that, but here I am. Well, at Duffy's, you remember I offered you $15 a week?
You think I was worth it, Archie?
No, but what can you get for $15 these days? Do you know how much I'm going to ask for you from Hope?
How much?
$20.
$20?
Yeah.
Suppose he finds out I work for you for the 15.
I'll tell him it included meals. Don't forget, 3 meals a day, 7 days a week at Duffy's Tavern is easy worth $2.
Well,
15 and 2, that's only 17.
Yeah, well, since that time you made that picture that's going my way so that your name is worth something. That'd be another buck.
Yeah, but that's... that's only 18. How are you going to get the other two?
The other two? It sure is tough getting you big dough, Crosby. But you know, that hope ain't too bright neither, so maybe we can railroad.
Well, you do the best...